if you want to turn there with us this morning and share with you the Word of God as the Lord hath laid upon our heart, I welcome our visitors today. If you're here for the first time, we appreciate you coming. We know that you could have went a lot of places and done a lot of things this morning. You chose to be here and be with us, and for that we are eternally grateful. Also, we know that the Holy Spirit directs those things, so you're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose and a reason. Amen? Stand with us this morning, if you will, for the reading of the Word of God in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Chapter 2 of the book of Luke, you'll know, is Mary's visitation from the Holy Spirit, from the angel of the Lord, and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to share with you some things that God revealed to me in the book of Luke chapter 1. And begin, for the sake of time this morning, I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. I had originally intended to read the whole chapter, the whole beginning of verse 1. But for the sake of time, we'll begin at verse 11. Very interesting account, very overlooked for the most part. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for each and every one that has come out this way. I thank you for the blessed Word of God that we can look into this morning and receive through the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God the things that will help us to better live for you and to better serve you. I pray, God, right now that you would touch every heart and every life in this service. You know every need that's present this morning. And I pray, God, that not one person would leave here with a need in their heart that's unmet. We'll glorify you and we'll praise you and we'll honor you for the results. I hide behind the cross of Calvary this morning. Speak through me, Lord, as I submit myself to you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. I got a question for you. How many of you have ever been in a room and you've been busy doing something, or you're concentrating on what you're doing, and suddenly you sense the presence of somebody else in the room and it startles you? You know, you just kind of jump, or and your normal response would be, when you look at them, you're probably going to recognize them. And then you would say something like, oh, I didn't see you there, I didn't hear you come in, or something. But initially, when you first sensed that presence, you were startled. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Amen. My question to you this morning is, are you ready for answered prayer?
Yes.
Amen. Now, I want to lay a foundation here, because around 30 years earlier, Zacharias was a priest, and was at this time, but he was a priest in Israel. And he married a girl by the name of Elizabeth, and they never had any children. And finally they realized Elizabeth was barren. She didn't have the ability to bear a child. So taking as their example Abraham and Sarah and others that had prayed and God had granted them children in Israel, guess what Zechariah and Elizabeth did? They prayed for a child. They prayed for a son. And so they rock on and go on in their life. And Zechariah is ministering as a priest in Israel. And Elizabeth doesn't get pregnant. And she's not with child. And the years pass. Now we come to this scripture that I've read you. And it's about 30 years later. And Zacharias has this privilege. Now, the priests were selected by lot to burn incense in the temple, and that was an honor. Burning incense was one of the jobs that was an honor in the temple. It was Zacharias' turn. He'd been selected. And he goes to the temple, and if you'll read the scripture, you'll find out that a lot of his friends were outside praying, and he's in there, and he's busy burning that incense. It's 30 years from the time he's gotten married. Oh, he's doing his job, and he's burning that incense, and everything's going great, and all of a sudden, Zechariah senses a presence in that room. Now, there ain't supposed to be nobody in there but Zechariah. But all of a sudden, he senses a presence, and he looks up, and I can almost see him as he's down there, and he's busy with it, and he looks up, and the Bible said there was an angel standing at the right hand of the altar of incense, and I can almost see his reaction. Can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big old angel, so he kind of moves over here. Wouldn't you take that look at him? Think about this for a minute. And he's afraid. The Bible said he was afraid. Fear came on him. And I can almost hear him in his mind thinking, who is this and what is he doing here? And the angel speaks to him and he said, fear not, Zechariah. He says, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. Okay, that would do more for me than what I've already been done when I found out that this guy come from the presence of God. And I can almost see him now. He's working his way away from that altar, and I don't blame him. There's a big old guy standing over there. And the angel speaks to him. And he says, I want you to know that your prayer has been heard. Zechariah says, prayer? What prayer? What are you talking about? And the angel said, your wife's going to conceive and bring forth a son. Now think about this. Zechariah says, have you looked at my wife lately? I mean, we're old. We're well stricken in years. She's past childbearing age. I mean, he's talking to Gabriel here. But he's trying to convince Gabriel this ain't going to work. Not now. I mean, we could have handled a child 30 years ago when we was young and we were strong and we could have raised him. But not now. I mean, we've been 30 years. That prayer, I forgot about that prayer. How many of you have prayed a prayer and you forgot about it? I'm asking you this morning, are you ready for God to answer your prayer? I'm telling you this morning, Zechariah wasn't ready. Today was his day. He was having a special day till Gabriel showed up. Kind of messed everything up. Now, I've done a study, and there's approximately 203 recorded instances of encounters of angels in the King James Version of the Bible. Some of the more notable were Daniel in the lion's den that they just did, where an angel of the Lord came and he shut the mouths of the lions. The three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace would be another good example. Mary in the garden at the resurrection would be another good example, because the Bible said an angel came, rolled a stone away, and then sat down on it. Those are notable. Peter in prison in the book of Acts, about chapter 12, Peter was in prison, and folk, Peter was laying there asleep. He was in shackles, had chains on his wrist, and an angel appeared to him, kicked him in the side, said, "Peter, get up." When Peter got up, the shackles fell off. Paul on a ship that was tossed in a storm in the book of Acts. And Paul stood up on that ship with a storm raging and said, "Men and brethren, fear not. For an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night and assured me that we wouldn't lose a life." God is able. I want you to know this morning that God is able to take care of you. And God heard your prayer when you prayed it, even if it was 30 years ago. God heard Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer 30 years earlier. But there's a verse of Scripture that I read in your hearing this morning, and it's verse 20, and there's a sentence in it that's very important, and we need to grasp onto it and understand it. And the last part of that verse, chapter 20, said, "Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words." Listen to this. "Which shall be fulfilled in their season." Just because God doesn't instantaneously answer our prayers in the moment that we pray them, or a day or two later, doesn't mean God didn't hear our prayer. It doesn't mean God is not going to answer our prayer. But God begins to work other things out to bring that to pass. And in the season that He's going to answer that prayer, He will answer. But we get anxious, amen? Go ahead. Praise the Lord. We get all excited and we want it done right now. And I ask you this morning in all sincerity, isn't that more for our convenience than it is for God's? We pray, "God, get me out of this mess that I got myself into. God, help me today. I need help now. I want a child now. I want money now. I want fame now. I want it now, 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 now." They prayed for a child. It took them 30 years. But Gabriel came. All these other instances, for the most part, the angel is unnamed. But in this scripture, he identifies himself. He says, "I'm Gabriel." He did that one other time when he appeared to a virgin by the name of Mary. He said, "I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God." But Zechariah's reaction was fear and unbelief and unpreparedness. And isn't that the way we react a lot of times? How many of you know the Bible said, "If whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive"? But it didn't say 12 hours later. God's got a time limit on him there. We'll find that in the book of Isaiah or somewhere. It says 24 hours or it ain't going to happen. No. God's in control of this thing, folks. I'm here to tell you this morning that God birthed this church in this community years ago in the hearts of people. And today God is going to fulfill some things. Praise the Lord. That some of you have held in your heart for years that God promised you and you prayed for years ago. And you've forgotten it. Like Zechariah. What prayer? I don't remember praying that prayer. Are you kidding me? Look at my wife. Zechariah wasn't ready. My question is, are you? Are you awaiting God's answer to your prayer that you prayed not yesterday, not last night, but years ago? Those requests and those prayers that you brought before the Lord, and you've forgotten them, taken them out of your mind because you have come to the conclusion God's not going to answer them. I'm sure Zechariah and Elizabeth had come to the conclusion they were not going to have any children. God had another plan. Amen? Turns out, Zechariah wasn't ready for the answer to prayer. And my question is, are we? Remember what you prayed for? Are you really want God to do that? Huh? The angel delivered good news, but because Zechariah didn't believe it, the Bible said he was struck dumb. Now you get this picture. I mean, I can almost see the picture of him in his encounter with Gabriel in the temple, but now he goes outside. And he's got to tell all them people out there what happened. But there's a problem. He can't talk. I can almost see him coming out of that temple. The Bible said they were getting worried about him because he had been tarried in there for a long time. And I can see him come busting out the doors and down the steps of that temple going. What in the world is that man talking? What happened to him in there? Something happened to Zechariah in the temple. What's wrong with Zechariah? What's the problem, Zechariah? Sometimes, I don't think I got the message across. Sometimes, aren't we just as dumbstruck because we don't know what happened? God answered a prayer we prayed years ago. We'd forgot about it. Suddenly it happens. And and the Bible said he was dumb and didn't speak a word till John the Baptist was born. And the John the Baptist was born, if you'll study this out, you'll find out it's true. They were all trying to decide what his name was. Would it be Zechariah Jr. or, you know, he said his name will be John. When he finally got his voice back, he believed what God said. Amen. He said his name will be John. We prayed prayers. God said, okay. Started molding things and getting things ready and putting things in line to answer that prayer. A little time passed. We forgot. Well, God's not going to answer that one. I might as well go on and pray something else. Because the answer wasn't instant in coming, we gave up on the prayer. God didn't give up. Amen? Many of you that are sitting under my voice this morning, God gave you a dream years ago. You prayed, you agreed to it, you accepted it, you received it into your heart with gladness, you were excited, and you were ready. But it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in 2 weeks. It didn't happen in 2 months. But the years wore on and passed by and went on. And you went on with life, and that dream, that vision, that promise faded from view, and you gave up on it. And like Zechariah, 30 years a priest in Jerusalem, the best thing he could look forward to was those days when he was chosen to burn incense in the altar. Life has been mundane, and it's been years that you've been going through the motions and not being blessed and enjoying the blessings of God. But you just kind of step in there and stuck in there. Your testimony, your zeal, your spirit of anticipation has been silenced and you're just going through the motions. In the book of Joshua, we find another man, an account of another man whom God gave a promise. And I want to share just a word or two with you this morning about him and compare him to Zechariah, who forgot his promise, forgot his prayer. In Joshua chapter 14, you'll find the account of a man by the name of Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies that was sent in to spy out the land. And when the spies came back with their report about the promised land to Moses, two of them brought back a good report, Caleb and Joshua. The other 10 said, oh, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, but we can't take it because there's giants in the land. We appear in their sight as grasshoppers. They're bigger than us. The lesson of Daniel or David and Goliath ought to give us more faith than that. But the Bible said that they made the heart of the people melt because of their report. Only two men stood by their report that, yes, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey, and we can well take it if God be with us. That was Joshua and Caleb. And in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7, the Bible said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So Joshua was 40 when they went in and looked the land over and brought back the report that it could be taken, that it was something that God would allow them to take and they could defeat the enemy that was there. But then he goes on to say that the other spies caused the heart of the people to melt. And Moses promised Caleb under the anointing of God on that day that he came back and brought that report that surely the land that your feet trod upon, someday it'll be yours. Folk, listen. If God made you a promise, rest on it. It might not be this week, it might not be this month, but if God said it, rest on it. It's going to come to pass. Amen? Now, there's a very interesting verse of Scripture in that I just read you in Joshua chapter 14, and I want you to listen to it. And you'll find it in verse 10 down about... let's just read all of verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said. Listen, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, Moses made a promise to Joshua upon the authority of the word of God, and he made a promise to Caleb upon the authority of the word of God, and they held on to that promise. They still wandered in the wilderness. They're the only two that wandered in the wilderness above the age of 20 that didn't die. And he said God kept them alive. Why do you think you're still here? Some of you are sitting out there this morning and your age is advancing and creeping up on you and you keep wondering, why am I still here? God's not through with you yet. You prayed a prayer a long time ago. You forgot about it, but God hasn't. The reason you're still here is because He's got to answer that prayer. And don't be surprised if the message comes through an angel of the Lord. But God kept him alive these 45 years. And now listen to what He said. Lo, I am this day 85 years old. 80 means he was 85 years old. He got the promise when he was 40, Carlos. 45 years. Caleb held on to that promise from God. How many of you remember that prayer you prayed now? You prayed it a long time ago, and you forgot it, but it's sort of coming back right now. Listen at verse 11. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, there... Listen. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. You say, well, I'm too old now. No. Give me this mountain. I'm still able to climb the mountain. I'm still able to believe God. I'm still able to stand on the promises of God. I'm still able to walk with God. Give me this mountain. You'll find out that the land he was talking about was a mountainous region. And he wanted it. Folk, I want everything God promised me. I don't know about you. I'm not giving up on nothing. Nothing. I'm not letting the devil cheat me out of nothing. Caleb wandered in the wilderness because of others' unbelief. But he held on to the promise of God. You may represent just a remnant of the people that God first intended for you to share your dream with, but you still hold into that dream. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you this in all sincerity. I have had preachers that I didn't even know, never seen before, and probably most of them never seen since. But I can think of at least three, sister, over the years, that have laid hands on me and spoke, thus saith the Lord. I have had that happen to me. And the things that they said, I haven't seen yet. I'm still holding to those promises. I'm not like Caleb. I'm not 65, but I'm 65 in just a couple of months. But I want that mountain. Amen. If God has it for me, I want it. And I trust that you want what God promised you. I trust that you're holding on to it, that you have not tossed in the towel, given up and abandoned ship. Because I'm telling you, one of these days, you're going to be up here singing in the choir. Or Bert, you're going to be over there on that piano. And all of a sudden, you're going to look up. And oh, there's that whole congregation and all them people you know standing out there in the midst of them is somebody you ain't ever seen before. And he's bigger than anybody else here. He stands taller. He glows brighter. And he comes to see you. You know what? Bert left that pen here about 3 or 4 months ago. You remember this? We're all up here singing. I'm going to tell on you, Bert. We're up here singing and just praising the Lord. All of a sudden, I looked up. Bert's going that way. And she, I'm watching her. She went on out the door. And I thought, where did she go? She forgot her music. She went back there to get it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. One of these days, Bert's going to jump up from that piano and take off. It won't be because she forgot her music. One of you is going to be standing up there in that choir and you're just going to take off. It won't be because you're nervous or afraid or you forgot something. It's going to be because Gabriel's going to say to you, My name is Gabriel. I come from standing in the presence of the Lord. If you ain't feeling this, you better pinch yourself. And your prayer has been heard. And God's about to answer your prayer. That's good news in anybody's book. That's shouting ground. I don't care who you are, that's shouting ground. God loves us, folks. God's not going to fail you. God hasn't deserted you. He knows where you are. He knows the hair on your head. He's got them numbered. And you're still here for a reason. And one of these days, when you're going about that daily duty that you always go about doing, God's going to send His angel Gabriel and say, "Hey, son, hey, daughter, I heard you pray. And the answer's on the way." You've held on to that dream. Maybe even forgot it. The memory of the prayer, the memory of the dream, the memory of the promise from years gone by. Once it was a burning fire down in your heart. Now only embers and ashes remain. I counsel you today to fan those embers. Add faith to your fire. Let it once again burn in your spirit like it did when you first received it. Bert, you better come. God hasn't forgotten your prayer. He heard your prayer. He knows where you are. My counsel to you this morning is don't give up on the brink of a miracle. How often do we throw the towel in too quick? Because we assume that, yeah, we prayed that prayer. Zechariah said, "My God, that prayer was 30 years ago. God said, "I've heard your prayer. Answer's on the way." And you know what? Elizabeth did conceive. And the Bible said she brought forth a son, called his name John. And he was the preparer of the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten me. God is well able to answer that prayer. He knows where you are. He's just been working things out. Gabriel said to Zechariah, "It's going to come to pass. The words that I've said is going to come to pass in their season." If you're still here and God made you a promise you ain't seen come to pass yet, hang on, child. It's on the way. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as they sing this song. If there's a need, if there is something in your heart that God has pointed out to you this morning that you need to bring to the Lord, I want you to slip out of your seat right now. Bring it to the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is in this place today. The anointing power of the Holy Spirit is here to heal, to deliver, to save, to set you free. All you need to do is bring it to the Lord right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As they sing, "You Come," right now. Don't wait on the first note of the first verse. Comes the. Some of you ladies, come pray with this sister right here. There are others that need to be here this morning. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. You say you don't know how long it's been and what all's happened since I prayed that prayer, preacher. I don't care. God knows where you are. right now. Sister Bernie. God is still on the throne. It may look like you've lost everything you've got. It may look like God has forsaken you, deserted you, and walked away from you. I'm here to tell you today that miracle's on the way right now. Slip out of your seat and come right now. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Nick. Would you lay hands on this sister and pray for her? Are you ready for God to answer your prayer? Are you expecting it? Are you waiting on it? Or have you given up? Watch her, Carlos. Anything. On the brink of a miracle. You're here this morning and you need a miracle from God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is able to meet every need in every life. You know, we have to realize that God does things in His timing and not necessarily in ours. God is looking for people right now in this day in which we live that are committed to Him. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer this out loud, but I want you to think about it for a minute. Have you ever been completely committed to just one cause? You know what it does, Nick, when that happens? Everything else becomes secondary. And that one purpose, that one cause, that's what you think about. That's what you want to do. That's what your desire every day. You wake up with it on your mind. You go to bed with it on your mind. Because that's your purpose. That's your zeal. That's what your burden is. That's what God's looking for in this last day. He's looking for people who will put everything else aside. I mean, eating is important. Sleeping is important. Living is important. But I'm talking about putting everything else in second place. And said, I choose to be from now on what God wants me to be. Zeal, excitement, determination. You know what that'll do? It'll cause you to put everything else out of the way. It's not as important as it used to be. Because the important thing is pleasing God. I want them to sing one more verse here this morning. As they continue to pray with this sister. Somebody needs to come today. Somebody. God has a miracle. God.